Psalm 55. This year, as you know, our year verse, we are focusing on trusting in and praying this verse from 2 Kings 3:18. This is a simple matter. This is an easy thing, a simple matter in the eyes of the Lord in terms of Him providing, caring for, working on our behalf. A very, very simple verse in one sense, but a very, very profound truth in what it is declaring to us. Because it's declaring that the Lord is so opposite of our own natural abilities. We like to think of ourselves as capable and all. And so when some of these burdens come, we realize how incapable and weak we are. And so this verse is a call for us to readjust our focus off our own abilities, off even the situation, as messy and as complicated as it can be, maybe if it's a person that we're concerned about, off the coldness and hardness of their hearts, and instead focus upon the Lord and His ability, and that whatever the situation is, it's an easy thing. It's a simple matter for Him to respond to deal with, to carry us through it, whatever the need happens to be. And so I hope you've been keeping this verse before you, even these first 2 months of the year. But as a way of helping us see its application in particular areas of our life, what we're doing with our monthly memory verses is highlighting one of those particular areas. And so for January and February, it was the area of finances and provision, and we looked at Malachi 3, 10, and 11. And so what we were seeing there was it's an easy thing, it's a simple matter for the Lord to care for us, to provide for us, the provision, the finances, the needs that we have. It's an easy thing for the Lord to open the windows of heaven for us. It's an easy thing for the Lord to pour out a blessing until it overflows for us, no matter what the need happens to be. We also saw in these verses that there is something for us to do. It's a call for us, a command for us to, in faith and obedience, give faithfully to the Lord. So there's a condition there. And so we've been looking at that for these past 5 weeks now. So as we come to the month of March, we're going to go look at a different verse and a different kind of topic in where our year verse would apply. And it's this verse here in Psalm 55, 22. Because, you read this verse, and it talks about burdens, casting your burden upon the Lord. I'll go ahead and put the verse up there in case you don't have a Bible. Burdens and cares is the topic. But, I've yet to meet a person yet who didn't have burdens and cares. So I figured this probably be a verse that would apply. They come in all kinds of sizes, different intensities, different complexities, all sorts of things. And so this is a critical area where we need to be reminded of what the Lord is capable of doing and the Lord's promise to us as His children. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. What a wonderfully encouraging verse that flows out of the heart of King David, who is the author of this psalm. Now, before we look at the verse itself, I want us to just take in the psalm so we get the context of what's happening here, because I think when you understand the context, it'll give even more weight and appreciation of what David is saying here in verse 22. Psalm 55, as I mentioned when we read it, was born out of a prayer that David, because of something David was experiencing in his life, and that what he was experiencing was betrayal. And it wasn't just the betrayal of any person, it was the betrayal of one of his closest companions in his kingdom. And that's a hard thing to go through, any of us to go through. Let me highlight some of the verses for you. Drop down to verse 12. And you see David talking about this, describing a little bit about this person who was just a close friend. He said, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me or taunts me, because then I would be able to bear it. Nor is it one who hates me," in other words, it's not a foe who has exalted himself or rises up against me, "then I would hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal or my peer, my companion, my familiar or good friend, We who had sweet fellowship together, we've walked in the house of the God, in the house of God in the midst of the crowd. And so he's describing a little bit of who this person was. This wasn't just a natural enemy. This was someone, they had been in sweet fellowship together, communion together. This was someone that was his equal, a friend. He goes a little bit further in verses 20 and 21 to describe it a little bit further. I'm going to put it up here on the PowerPoint for you because I wanted to read it out of the New Living Translation. And it reads this way. As for my companion, he betrayed his friends. He broke his promises. His words are as smooth as butter, but his heart is war. His words are as soothing as lotion, but underneath are daggers. So what a shock this was to David as he experienced this. Now, obviously people have tried to solve the question of who is he talking about. And the most popular guess is Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor, who ended up siding with Absalom when Absalom rebelled against David. And this man was a much trusted and relied upon counselor. In fact, let me put up here for you from 2 Samuel 16:20. You listen to how, as he pledged his allegiance to Absalom, look at the influence this man had. Absalom did whatever Ahithophel told him to do, just as David had. For every word Ahithophel spoke seemed as wise as though it had come directly from the mouth of God. So this was a very respected, trusted counselor in David's kingdom who had betrayed David and pledged his allegiance to Absalom as he rebelled against his father. And so if Ahithophel was one of David's, is the one David's describing here, you can begin to grasp a little bit that the range of emotions David must have been feeling as this man betrayed him. Now, we're not sure that's who it was, but as you read the life of David, that's kind of the only one that really matches up with what this psalm is describing. It could have been someone else that we're not told about in Scripture, not told of an incident in David's life in Scripture about this, but whoever it was, it hits David extremely hard. As betrayal does. I mean, most of us have experienced at some level being betrayed, whether it's just as a child and your friend betrayed you and went and played with another friend, or whether it's in your teen years or even in your adult years. We've all tasted that. And sadly, sometimes it's been by a spouse in the worst kinds of ways. But betrayed trust is one of those incredibly painful trials and things that we experience in our life more than other things. We can go through a lot of things, can we not, if we have a faithful friend, whether it's a mate or someone else, but that faithful friend who stands with us and goes through with us and bears our burdens with us. But when we've been betrayed by a faithful friend, what a hurt that produces in our lives. So look at some of the ways David describes it in the opening verses. In verse 2, he says that he is restless or he is distraught. He's overwhelmed. He's in turmoil. Verse 4, he speaks about being in anguish. Again, in verse 4, he says, the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Verse 5, he talks about fear and trembling have come upon him. Horror has overwhelmed him. And so he gives this array of descriptions and emotions to describe how this has affected him. Let me just pause for a minute. Bill, would you close those curtains because the sun's coming off that windshield right in my eye. Thank you so much. Thank you. David, at this point, felt probably like some of us have felt at times when we're in the midst of this hard, intense, painful trial. You just want to get away, don't you? You just want to escape. And so that's what he says in verses 6 through 8. Look at it. He said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. So he's just saying, let me just get away from this. I've had enough. I need to get out of here. This is too painful. This is too hard. And we've said similar type things as the intensity of a hurt or a trial comes upon us and we cry out same things. I've had enough. Let me get out of here. Let me get away from here. That's our cry sometimes. By the way, you do realize a day is coming when you will be able to get away from it all. Let me remind you, a famous promise from Book of Revelation 21, verse 4 and 5. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And so he said to John, "Write, for these words they just talked about are faithful and true." It is coming. We'll be able to get away from it all. Now, some of you may say, "It's not coming soon enough." I got you. Maybe not, but it is coming. If you have pledged and entrusted your life to Jesus Christ. If you have not, then what you're going to experience is far worse than anything that's touched your life here. And you won't be able to ever get away from it all. But for those of us in Christ, that day is coming when we'll be able to get away from it all. But, until that day comes, God has made provision that this psalm and this verse talks about. We'll get into that in just a minute. David, he's expressed what's happened, and as he begins this ascent out of the valley of pain and anguish and gloom, the first thing he does, verses 16 and 17, is he turns to prayer. Are we surprised? He says in verse 16, "As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me evening and morning and at noon. I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice." King James, New King James, verse 17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and I will cry aloud." The NIV says, "I will cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." I think, you know, we read the words complain and murmur, we see that's just as a negative, but part of the meaning behind, especially the word murmur, is just talking about a soul in distress that's pouring its heart out to the Lord. And so I think what he's saying here is it's just picturing how much distress his soul is in over this betrayal by this closest of friends. But notice he does go to God in prayer. He calls upon God. And let me just add this. It's a whole lot easier to call out to the Lord when you're in distress if that's been the regular habit of your life, a regular conversation between you and the Lord. Because I found out when people haven't really been walking with the Lord and then something really hits them, they cry out to the Lord, but they don't know what to cry out because there's no conversation that's been going on. There's not much depth to the relationship. And so it's a tough thing if you don't have a closeness with the Lord and something hits you and you run to him and you don't even know what to do. The importance of that regular relationship, conversing, talking, sharing your heart with the Lord and allowing him to speak back to you as we were just singing a minute ago. So David goes to God in prayer. Notice verse 17, though. He does it numerous times through the day, evening and morning and at noon. And again, you probably can identify with that. When you've been under some great burden, some pressure, you find yourself probably throughout many times through the day lifting that same request up to the Lord. Many times same words, not adding anything new. But you just constantly lift that burden, that request up to the Lord, crying out to him. Sometimes when I've done that, I will look for a particular verse that I can pray, and I will pray that verse throughout the day as well. Some of the verses I have used are verses that we have had as memory verses, or let me reverse that. That's some of the reasons why I've picked them as memory verses, because they have meant so much to me, such as, these are some of the verses I prayed in some of these kinds of conditions. Psalm 147:5, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength, his understanding is infinite." And what a great reminder that is to me. He's abundant in strength. Nothing he can't handle. Nothing he can't understand in terms of how to handle, because his understanding is infinite. Or here's another one we've memorized in past years. Psalm 121:2, "My help comes from the Lord." What's his qualification? He's only the one who made heaven and earth and everything in it. It's what power, what wisdom, what authority was required to do that? And he brings that same to my circumstance. Or Psalm 57:2. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. I've prayed that verse many times. Two more, and these are very familiar to you, but we've had them for memory verses as well. Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. There's the theme of creation again. By your great power, by your outstretched hand, you did that. Nothing else can be difficult for you. That wasn't difficult. My circumstance surely can't be difficult if you can create the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. In Isaiah 41:10, many of you know this, have prayed this, but look at the words that are highlighted here, underlined. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's done some pretty other incredible things with his hands, hadn't he? So these are verses that I will seize on and pray throughout the day when I'm facing one of these kinds of situations. Probably these verses you could share as well. So don't neglect prayer, persistent, incessant prayer, and prayer that's based on God's word. As you've heard many times from different people, pray God's promises back to him. And then notice what David says next, the first part of verse 18. He says, He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. And I guess you could read that in two ways. Either God literally rescued him and brought peace from his enemies, or God gave him peace in his soul in the midst of the trial. And again, many of us can testify of how God has done that with us. We're in the midst of the trial. Nothing's changed about the trial, the intensity of it. But God has granted that peace that passes all understanding. And who can explain it other than it's from God and he is sustaining me, even though nothing's changed about the situation. I remember very distinctly, I've shared this with you before, but I just remember very distinctly one time when the Lord did that to me, with me. It related to one of the battles, one of the times Elizabeth was battling great sickness, and there weren't a lot of encouraging signs on the horizon. I can remember I was right here. I forget what day of the week it was, kneeling here at the altar. The Bible was open in front of me, and I came across this verse in Psalm 22:24, For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But, and this is the part that grabbed me, when he cried to him for help, he heard. It was just that last phrase that just gripped my heart. I was kneeling here. I was crying out to the Lord, pouring out my heart, her situation, and just brought a great assurance and peace. Just the fact that I knew he had heard. Really heard. Didn't know what he was going to do, but just the assurance that God Almighty in heaven on the throne of the universe had heard my cry. So God gives peace, even though the situation may not immediately change, may not ever change. But God sustains us many times through giving a supernatural peace. So look at David's battle plan so far. Verse 16, he says, I will call upon the God. I will do it in the evening. I will do it in the morning. I'll do it at noon. And then verse 22, our memory verse, he says, I will cast my burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain me. So let's just spend a few minutes looking at verse 22. Let's see if we can open it up and gain a little bit more about what David is saying here, because it really is profound what he writes here, what he's experienced in his life. So let's just walk our way through this. First, he says, I will cast. There's nothing mystical about that word. It means to cast. It means to throw. What is significant is that it involves a choice on our part. We have to cast. We have to make the choice to cast, to be sustained by the Lord. If you choose to hang on to your burden and don't cast it upon him, understand the promise isn't for you, and you're out there on your own to deal with it. So it's a call, it's a command to give it to the Lord, Sometimes that's a one-time deal. Many times it's not a one-time deal. You do it again and again. Maybe there's a new wrinkle that comes to the trial, the burden. Maybe it's just this particular day, for whatever reason, you can't explain it. You just feel the weight of it in a way that you hadn't been feeling. And so you cast it again. One-time deal, many-time deal. I don't know what it'll be for you. You'll experience probably both ways. But it's a command. We cast it upon Him, and how foolish we are not to do that. Not to cast it upon the one who's abundant in strength, who's infinite in understanding, and instead think we can figure out how to get through this, how to respond to it. So cast. There's a choice involved. The next word is cast your burden, and this is the word that we're a little bit looking into, as it says on the slide. Literally means, the word burden literally means what is given, or by extension, what He has given you, given me, is my lot. Or my portion. And you see, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, he defines it this way. What is given by providence, that is lot, your lot. What He has given as your lot or portion. And one translation puts it this way. Cast what He has given thee upon the Lord. That's the reason He's given it to you. So that you'll cast it upon Him. Another person said this. I have got the net of their love worship died in glory, or for the hope to see my pain loss is end and on. What's your life lot in life today? Or maybe you need to put an S on there for you. I don't know. What are your lots in life? Maybe there's more than one right now that's touching your life. That's not any fun, I realize. But what is your lot in life? What has God in His sovereignty brought to your life, in His wisdom and in His goodness as well, but brought into your life? Be it short in duration or be it long in duration. What is the lot God has brought into your life? It's from Him. As you cast it upon Him, He promises He will sustain you through it. It's not meant to crush you. There's a purpose. There's a design behind it. It's meant to test and increase your trust and your dependence upon Him to show you in bigger, greater ways what He is capable of doing in your life. Most of you, especially if you read, listened to anything by Elizabeth Elliot, knows the name Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael's lot in life, you know what it was? It was her singleness. And what many people don't know is she had several opportunities to become engaged, to get married in her lifetime, and yet that inner voice of the Lord just kept telling her no. And so she gave herself, she turned over to the Lord, she cast it upon the Lord, she gave herself to follow the path God had for her, which you know led her to India, where I don't know how many souls came to faith in Christ through her ministry, a ministry that still goes on to this day. The impact she made for the kingdom of God was tremendous. Going back to what we talked about last week, you're talking about laying up treasures in heaven. This was a woman who gave her life to laying up treasures in heaven. And I can assure you that the reward she has received in heaven, or will receive, however that works, far, 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 far outweighs any, quote, loss that she gave up or surrendered to the Lord. Any kind of loss she experienced because of her singleness. What is your lot? What do you need to cast upon the Lord? What has the Lord given you that brought into your life? Maybe you've cast it on Him before. Maybe you need to do it again today. Because another one of those memory verses we looked at that came because of what I've prayed many times is Psalm 68:19. I didn't give that put on the screen for you, did I? Nope, I didn't. So you just have to listen. You can look it up later. Psalm 68:19, it says this. Blessed be the Lord who, here's the key word, daily bears our burdens. Look it up in the New American Standard. Sorry, those of you who have other versions. But blessed be the Lord God who daily bears our burdens. Daily we are to bring them to Him. Trust Him. Look for dependence upon Him once again for this day, this new day, who daily bears our burdens. Then the next part of the phrase in verse 22, it says, He will sustain you. What it means is He will make you sufficient for it. Here's the picture behind it. Pictures any kind of vessel. When I say vessel, I'm not talking about a ship. I mean just any kind of a vessel and things or stuff or whatever is being poured into it. And the vessel has been constructed so that it is sufficient to hold and bear the weight of whatever is put in it. That's the picture behind this word, sustain. In other words, God, as you cast it upon Him, God is going to come and He's going to make you sufficient to bear, to stand up under, to support whatever that lot is He has brought into your life. So let me put it together for you. We could read it this way. I am to cast that lot God has given to me upon Him, and He in turn will make me strong enough to support that which He has given to me as a lot. That's what David is saying here. Now, I realize in one sense, that's not a very pleasant thing to think about. We would much rather the Lord just kept all the lots to Himself and not bother to pass any on to us, right? I got you there. I'm with you there. That's the way most of us would naturally like to be. But one of the fundamentals of the Christian life is that God has called us to live in dependence upon Him. And burdens are one of the greatest ways of teaching us how to do that. So I don't think He's going to allow us to escape a burden-free life, because we will never learn how to be as dependent upon Him as we are when we are experiencing those burdens in our life. Because as we are driven to Him, as we cast those burdens, those cares, those trials, those God-given lots upon Him, it drives us to look to Him in dependence, and it teaches us one thing, that one, we are not able to handle this ourselves. We are incapable in our own wisdom and strength to at least sustain ourselves through this. And two, it shows us, it reveals to us how loving and caring and capable He is of carrying us and making us to be able to support whatever that burden, that lot is. And you think about it for a minute. Is it not through the songs and the books and the testimonies and the lives of those who have carried great burdens that God has made them and sustained them through it? Is it not through the hymns and the books and the testimonies that have come out of those people's lives that have affected you most profoundly and most deeply? Isn't it? And the Lord wants to do the same thing through each one of us. So that as we learn how He can sustain us through the great painful burdens of life, we're able then to share it with someone else to encourage them and show them what kind of God they can entrust themselves to. That's part of what He's about in teaching us these things. All right, the last part of verse 22 says, He will never allow the righteous to be shaken or to be moved or fall or slip. Now, Albert Barnes says this, David's this going through. He says, verse 16, I will call upon God evening, morning, and noon. Secondly, verse 22, I will cast my burden upon the Lord, for He will sustain me. And then the last line of the psalm that we haven't really looked at, but we read it, Psalm verse 23, I will trust Him. That's David's testimony. So if you want to reduce it anymore, you can say it this way. David says, I'm going to call, I'm going to cast, and I'm going to trust. See, that's how I'm going to get through this. And the promise is, as I do that, the Lord will sustain me. He'll make me sufficient to go through this. That's His promise. And if you know anything about the character of God, you know He's going to do that. If the whole purpose that He sends these burdens, He gives us these lots, is to cause us to turn and cast it upon Him, so that we find our dependence upon from Him, we know, if anything about the character, we know He's going to then sustain us. He's going to follow through with the promise He has given us there. Would He send it? Would He send this lot if it wasn't His full intention to sustain us as we cast it upon Him? And the answer to that's obviously no. It was Augustine who put it this way: God is not a deceiver, that he should offer to support us, and then when we lean upon him, would slip away from us. That would totally violate the character of God. So, I commend to us our memory verse for March, Psalm 55:22, under the topic or category of burdens and cares. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. We praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this promise that came from the life of David as he bore this tremendous, painful betrayal in his life. But Lord, it ministers to us and teaches us, instructs us what to do when we are facing a similar thing. So Lord, I thank you that no matter what the lot is you've allowed to touch our lives, that it is an easy thing, a simple matter in your eyes to sustain us, to keep us from being shaken, if we will just cast it upon you and look to you for what we have need of. Lord, thank you for those you have used in our life to minister and encourage our faith that have gone through great burdens, but they've experienced this verse. And as we've heard about it, read about it, maybe known the person, how deeply impacted we have been received from that. But Lord, now use us in the same way to touch someone else's life, to show them what a loving, good, and capable God you are and want to be to them as well. And Lord, I just pray for this congregation today. I know there are those here that have burdens in their life, cares in their life. And Lord, I just pray they would respond to the truth of this verse, this promise. And for the first time or the 100th time, cast it upon you once again and find for this day that you sustain them, that you make them sufficient to deal with, to bear this burden, for your honor, for your glory in their lives, for how they will gain a new level of understanding and trust and love for what you are capable of doing in their lives. And through that, bring great glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, hear the prayers that may be being prayed right now as those burdens are being cast upon you. And reassure them of your pledge to fulfill this promise as they do so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.